This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Many in America are tuning in to watch the epic PBS Ken Burns documentary about the Vietnam War. For some, it's new information. For others, it's the retelling of a story that they lived. Americans fought, went missing, and died in Vietnam. Here's what Burns and his filmmaking partner Lynn Novick said on PBS NewsHour about their documentary.
The Civil War and the Second World War are really encrusted with the barnacles of sentimentality. And that's not a problem with Vietnam. And so in a way, we get it raw. Nobody's going to sentimentalize Vietnam. It defined who we were. It was this horrible loss. And I think a lot of the divisions that we experience today had their seeds in the Vietnam conflict, and we haven't really gotten over them.
It's still with us in this very present way. I think we came across a quote after we finished the film that all wars are fought twice, on the battlefield and in our memory. I think we're still fighting the Vietnam War in many, many ways.
How do we remember the Vietnam War? Now over 40 years since the end of the war, do we have the perspective that we need? How have we memorialized the war, locally and nationally? Call in. We want to hear your stories, your reaction, your experiences. Just express yourself about if you were part of the conflict. The number to call in is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org and send us a tweet at @tprsource. We're joined this afternoon by John Baines. He's the founder and chairman of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in San Antonio. Also with us on the line is James Reston Jr. He's the author of A Rift in the Earth, Art, Memory, and the Fight for the Vietnam War Memorial. That's the one in D.C., the National Memorial. Welcome to The Source, both of y'all. It's great to have you here.
Oh, thank you for including me.
And James, have you been watching the Ken Burns?
Absolutely. It's riveting.
And you've written about the making of the memorial on the National Mall. What are your thoughts, though, your reaction to watching the Ken Burns?
Well, bringing that back in such vivid terms is absolutely overwhelming. I mean, almost any minute that you watch of that thing, you wonder, where on earth did this footage come from? And, you know, it gets us so deeply down into the nitty-gritty of how awful and horrifying war can be. So it's an overwhelming experience, and it's a huge accomplishment on the part of Burns and Novick. I had the privilege of being with them last week at the Woodrow Wilson Center in Washington, and it is just amazing to me that a couple of producers can spend 10 years and have that much patience to do so thorough a job as they're doing. So it's a total triumph.
John Baines, you're the founder, the chairman of the Vietnam Memorial here in San Antonio. What's your reaction? Have you seen it?
Yes, admittedly, I haven't seen the past two segments, but the previous segments I have. And it was a tsunami of emotions for me watching the piece. My wife asked me how I felt watching it, and I said it made me very sad for a lot of reasons. Sad as to what our young people went through over there, and certainly as much what they experienced when they came home.
You were a combat veteran.
Yes, I was.
Do you want to talk about your service there?
Well, I was in the CBs when I was there, the Navy CBs, the construction arm of the Navy, and we were under the command of the 3rd Marine Division the whole time I was there, and we were in Quang Tri during the Tet Offensive, and of course, Quang Tri was one of the hot spots during that time, and what we experienced was quite horrific, but at the end of the day, I'm extremely proud of my service for having been over there.
James, you were enlisted. You were in the military at the time of the war, but you didn't go across.
That's correct.
Can you talk about that?
Well, I would say beyond what Mr. Baines has said, that the Ken Burns thing is not just about the people who served over there, although that that is certainly the essence of what they're doing, but much broader, I think, for the whole Vietnam generation and what it experienced. I think that Burns and Novick have done good service to the resistance to the war. There's no question in my mind that the that the resistance of the young people of America were crucial in stopping the whole thing. So what my concern about is in writing this book is not only that the ones who serve like Mr. Baines, you know, get properly recognized for their service and honored for it, but also the much broader question of what happened to that generation and the choices that they had to make when they were subject particularly to the draft in an effort that was very flawed from the beginning and arguably immoral as it continued on. So it was a devastating experience for the United States straight across the board. And I agree with Burns that we still haven't quite digested this loss into our national consciousness.
You say the draft was immoral, but some are wondering about how things are working today with a warrior class, certain individuals from a certain demographic who are volunteering to fight, and we're not really sharing that burden across America.
Well, that's right. I mean, the unless the entire country is involved, all generations, in a declaration of war, then it offers the possibility that we can just continue to fight these endless wars endlessly, this perpetual war, because we have this warrior class or this volunteer army, and there is a great separation between the volunteer army and the body politic. I mean, it just does not seem as if we are constantly at war as you walk around the streets of America, and that's partly because, you know, this concept of a volunteer army has come up, and people are inclined to say, well, these people who volunteered for the military, well, they knew what they were getting into, and it's too bad when some of them get hurt. So I think that's not a good thing for this country. I feel as if, you know, when we go to war, we, you know, everybody must be on board for that. And if it doesn't go well, as it didn't go well in Vietnam, then we need to stop it.
As we watch the Ken Burns documentary, we see a lot of parallels to the situations today. We have protests in the streets. We have a war that we're undergoing right now in Afghanistan, which some have called a quagmire. We look at the memorials that have gone up, and we wonder about the ones that are coming down. What do the roles of memorials play in our society? The story of how San Antonio was able to have a Vietnam memorial, that's a fascinating story. We're going to hear it from John Baines when we come back from the break. Also, James Reston Jr. is going to talk about the Washington Memorial, the Vietnam Memorial. Some call it the Wall. And we're going to take your phone calls. If you got questions, comments about the Ken Burns or about the war, call in. The number is 210-614-8980. The Source continues after this break. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. In front of the Municipal Auditorium, we have a military plaza where we have memorials there to wars that have fought and San Antonians who have given all to America's great battles. And one of them is a memorial to the Vietnam veterans. John Baines, our guest this afternoon, is the founder and chairman of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial for San Antonio. And John, you really were the man that drove the train. You got that, you made that memorial happen.
Well, it was my concept in the very beginning, and I commissioned the artist that did the piece that we now know as San Antonio's Vietnam Veterans Memorial. And what inspired me to do this was when I witnessed what took place at the dedication of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C., What I saw that day made a very profound impression on me, not just for myself, but in observing the other veterans and most especially the family members of those whose names are inscribed on the memorial up there. And I thought, you know, we're finally home, and we're finally being recognized for our sacrifices. And everyone that goes into the military sacrifices something. They put their education on hold. They put their career on hold. They put their families and their marriages on hold. And they go off to faraway battlefields in defense of our country's ideals. And I thought, you know, most of us take things for granted. I think most of us could, if we wanted to go to Washington to see the memorial, we could drive out to the airport this afternoon and buy a ticket and fly up there and see it. And most of us have the ability to do that. But there are a lot of people who may never have the opportunity to see that. And they should not be deprived of the experience of knowing that their sacrifice has been appreciated and acknowledged by the American people. And I thought, what a wonderful thing it would be to build memorials in every major city in the United States so people who are less fortunate and don't have the financial means to travel to Washington can still see that their country and their community supports what they have done for us. And I thought, what better place to start than in Military City, USA, San Antonio, Texas. I had purchased a tabletop bronze piece at a art show in New York that the piece was entitled Hill 881 South, Even God Was Against Us. And the artist that created that piece, I ended up purchasing the piece from him, and the piece depicts a Marine radioman down on one knee, lending aid to a fallen comrade in the heat of battle at the Battle of Hill 881 South in the spring of 1967. And what drew me to that piece was the symbolism that it represents of one man lending aid to another. So when I decided to proceed with the memorial in San Antonio, I contacted the artist and asked him if he could recreate that scene, which is a scene that he had personally witnessed because he had been a Marine Corps combat artist at that particular battle. He had witnessed what is depicted in San Antonio's memorial, and I asked him if he could transform that into a 3x life-size bronze sculpture, and he said, well, you realize nothing of that scale has been done since the Marine Corps Memorial, which most people know as the Iwo Jima at the Arlington National Cemetery. And I said, well, I want something of that scale, and I want it to depict this particular scene because I want it to be symbolic of one man lending aid to another, regardless of the conflict one might have been in, whether it's Vietnam or World War II or Korea or Afghanistan and Iraq. They can relate with that particular scene, and that's the message I want to deliver. So that's really how the piece came into being in San Antonio.
The artist's name is Austin Duell?
That's correct, yes.
And the number to call in if you want to weigh in on this conversation, join us, talk about did you or a family member serve in World War, in the Vietnam War. The number is 210-614-8980. You know, what parallels do you see what's happening now and back in the 60s and 70s? And have you been watching the Ken Burns documentary? Do you think he got it right, or do you think there is something that he should have included which was missed out? 210-614-8980. And so, James Reston, you write about the Washington National Vietnam Memorial, very different than what we have here in San Antonio.
Yes, well, very different for starters in that there was an international competition for the winning design for the Washington Memorial. And Mr. Baines is quite lucky, really, that he didn't have to go through that kind of an artistic competition. There were 1,421 submissions to that competition that included some of the very most prominent institutions of architecture and art in America. And it ended up with this extraordinary result of this young 21-year-old Asian American student at Yale University winning the whole thing. That, as most people have completely forgotten, because the Washington Vietnam Memorial is so universally embraced now, people have almost totally forgotten that between 1979 and 1984 there was a terrible battle. I refer to it as an art war and as the sort of second Vietnam War, in which some veterans, very well positioned, very with very good contacts in Washington, led by the former Senator Jim Webb from Virginia, did everything they possibly could to undermine the My Lin design. They felt that it was insulting to veterans. It had a black color, which they referred to as the color of shame. It was below ground. It had only the names of the dead, nothing for the survivors. There was nothing about heroism or glory or any of that. And it was a really intense battle that finally was resolved by the addition of three soldiers. So that's what I have written about here, because it fascinated me in a number of ways. I have one Army comrade who's on the wall, so that was an emotional rootedness for me. But also, I was friendly with the sculptor of the three soldiers, and I had talked to him at some considerable length over the years that I knew him about the struggle to get a Vietnam memorial consummated in Washington. So I think it's wonderful what it sounds like you've got there in San Antonio. That experience is replicated all over America with lots of local Vietnam memorials. It's absolutely appropriate. But I think what is magical about the Vietnam Memorial in Washington is that its essence has basically changed with the decades since it was constructed and dedicated. It's now become rather universalized. It's not only about the Vietnam War, but it's really about all wars. And it's not only for veterans, it's for that entire Vietnam generation that faced these very, very difficult choices about whether to serve or not to serve. It's in some ways embraces pacifists as much as it does warriors. So that's quite an interesting thing. And it also is not just about one generation. I mean, if you go to that memorial, you'll see that people bring their children all the time, and no doubt it leads to some very profound discussions about, you know, about that war and all wars. So it's an absolutely amazing thing that came out of a very, very difficult firestorm of opposition.
John Baines, when the memorial for Washington, D.C. was being planned, did you have any reaction to it?
Well, excuse me, I was certainly aware of it, and I was aware of the design, and Jim Webb and I are friends, and quite honestly, he expressed his opinions to me, and it really didn't sway me one way or the other. I was kind of on the fence in how I felt about it. It was not really what I would have thought it would be, but the end result is something that I have found very appropriate since it's been completed. Of course, obviously, it's been embraced by the veterans. Gosh, all of my friends who are veterans have embraced it, and we've all seen it and have been up there at least once to see it. I mean, it couldn't be any more different than what we have in San Antonio, but I think that they're both serving their purpose.
Yeah, one is not right and one is not wrong.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Go ahead, James.
Well, I was just going to jump in to say that apart from the profound issues of how you memorialize a war that America lost, there is the whole artistic side of this thing, and it did fascinate me when this recounting this whole battle, what it would be like for an artist to hear that there is this major national competition going on for a memorial that would be in the most sacred ground in our nation's capital, the Mall, about what would be appropriate artistically. And the 1,421 submissions are an incredible effusion of creativity. Some of them are absolutely ridiculous. Others are very moving in different ways and so forth. And what you have in the end, though, is a kind of shotgun marriage between abstract art, that is to say, Maya Lin's design, and figurative art, the three soldiers of, of Frederick Hart, the sculptor. So that, too, led to some very strong and passionate debate amongst artists as to whether a winning design should be protected and kept pure, or whether it was in some way undermined by the imposition of a totally different, inconsistent work of art that goes with it. So this whole struggle is about how we memorialize a lost war and pay attention to the sacrifice of the veterans, at the same time broader, how we address the issues of the war itself for the entire generation, and thirdly, how that works out as a work of art. So most of these memorials are figurative, and it sounds like that's what you've got there in San Antonio, and that's perfectly fine, but for many, a figure of a soldier, even if it's a soldier who's helping a downed comrade, doesn't quite grasp what the generational experience was with Vietnam.
The figures we have in San Antonio, they are not actual individuals. They are representing, because I've heard both things.
That's purely symbolic.
Okay, so it's not an actual person that is being sculptured, like we know who that radio man is, correct?
Well, there's been some conversation about that, and I told the artist that this is not about individuals, it's about symbolism, is what it is. We're not glorifying any particular individual or any particular branch of the military, for that matter. It's for all veterans. And it was intended from day one to be purely symbolic of one man lending aid to a fallen comrade.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I would say that that a great proportion of the submissions to the national competition for the Washington thing had that very idea in mind of a soldier helping a fallen comrade.
James, I'm going to take a break. When you come back, the number to call in is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. The Source continues as we talk about remembering the Vietnam War. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. If you've been downtown, you've seen the Veterans Memorial Plaza. It's located across Auditorium Circle, right by the San Antonio Municipal Auditorium, which is now the big theater that we have downtown. That was dedicated on November the 9th in 1986. A big dedication. General Westmoreland was speaking. Mayor Henry Cisneros at the time also spoke. And the person who really made that happen, helped San Antonio really have that beautiful sculpture depicting that hill activity, that fighting in Vietnam, is with us, John Baines. He's the founder and chairman of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial of San Antonio. Also with us on the line is James Reston Jr. He's the author of A Rift in the Earth, Art, Memory, and the Fight for a Vietnam War Memorial. And our phone lines are now working, and you can give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. And Janie is on the line. And Janie, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you so much. Excuse my laryngitis. I'm a local San Antonio tour guide here. And just yesterday, I took a group of veterans by the memorial over there that we're speaking of on Vietnam. I had a group of also Korean War veterans. And that is so moving because we've studied.
And we lost that call. We're still trying to work out the bugs in our phone system today. But we did catch a little bit of that. So John Baines, we found that visitors to San Antonio, and we have a lot of them, see that memorial as well.
Well, people come here all the time. I give presentations down there quite frequently with various reunion groups. As a matter of fact, I've got one coming up in about 2 weeks of a Marine Corps group that men coming in from all over the country, and they're going to have a ceremony down there to remember men from their particular group that perished in Vietnam, and they have asked me to give a presentation, which I enjoy doing, and on our website, we encourage people to call us if they would like a personal presentation about how not just the memorial, but how Veterans Memorial Plaza was created. I mean, the plaza was created in conjunction with the memorial, so we could provide a place for future memorials. So I'm pleased to hear that she had that type of experience. I hope she calls back because we always like to hear that people appreciate the things we've done.
Here's another caller. This is Elizabeth. Elizabeth, hi. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. You asked if we knew anybody who was involved in Vietnam. I was a personal friend of Roy P. Benavides, a Congressional Medal of Honor recipient when he was in El Campo, and my own first cousin had been a gunner in a helicopter in Vietnam, and when he returned from war, he later developed Agent Orange-induced lung cancer and died from that. And this was a very controversial war, being a draft war. At the same time, we had people refusing to be drafted and to leave and go to Canada. So it tore the nation apart. I'm sure that's clear. And I know I experienced that in my family. But at the same time, a soldier who is drafted, and we are taught as Americans that you serve when your country calls on you. The soldier who responds to that call as a sense of duty and who does go to follow orders and obey and risk his life for the nation, I think deserves to be honored, whether we agree with the cause of the war or not. And some veterans, when they returned, were really abused and suffered not only PTSD, but also personal rejection from their fellow Americans, which I think is really not clear. So I think perhaps we need a discussion on how important it is to understand the role of a just war, and how important it is to understand that the ability of this nation to respond to threats depends on men and women who are willing to say yes and to go and risk their lives and obey the orders.
All right, Sister, thank you. Sister Elizabeth, thank you so much. I appreciate your call. James Reston, Jr., so the memorial in Washington has all the names of the fallen. And I guess that was a new thing. No one had ever tried anything like that before. But what does that mean to have the names and people be able to locate family members, loved ones, people that they knew?
Well, the first thing to say about that is that when you look at that wall from a distance, 58,000 names or more, I mean, it's not about duty and service so much as it is about the cost of war. And that was very much on the founders' minds, I think. Jan Scruggs, who was the equivalent of Mr. Baines for the National Memorial, was insistent that all 1,421 submissions to the thing have the names of the fallen on it. So that was a given if you wanted to compete for this design competition. That was, yes, absolutely new. And it's something that has been replicated all over the world, and ironically, even in North Vietnam. I was in Vietnam in December and was taken to a cemetery there. They actually had the graves of fallen soldiers, but in pagodas around this area were granite, black granite plaques which had all the names of the North Vietnamese fallen. So this notion of inscribing the names began with this competition, and it's just one of the many ways in which the Washington experiences had an international resonance.
So James, talk a little bit more about the design elements, because when you break it down, like, well, it's a wall with names on it, it doesn't do it justice. I mean, there was so much more than that. Can you help bring that forth?
Well, if you actually look at the myelin design, you would actually be astonished at how simple it is. I mean, it's almost high schoolish in its design of this black chevron. What really won her the competition was her description of her vision for this thing. And that's why I use that phrase, a rift in the earth, is what was her concept. I was also focused very much on the course at Yale that she was in, that her design was basically just a class assignment, undergraduate class assignment in Yale. But her original design had the chevron, but going down to the chevron was a series of stones in which she wanted the names of the fallen to be on the stones, not on the wall itself. And while the competition insisted that it be completely apolitical, that it expressed no opinion pro or con about the nature of the war itself, what her original design had was really very political, as if all the dead in Vietnam were kind of surfing down to this wall, surfing to their death on a series of stones. So it was intensely political. And in the vetting of that by some architects that were brought in from New York to look at this, they thought the idea of a black chevron below ground was very appropriate for a lost war. But what was these stones that she had? And with one voice, the judges said, get rid of the stones. And that's how we got this very simple design that is totally apolitical.
Here's another caller. This is Catherine. And Catherine, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. Yes, I just had a question for Mr. Baines. You mentioned that you bought a tabletop sculpture, but I was wondering, first of all, how you came across that, and I also wanted to thank you for your service and tell you how proud it makes me feel every time I go down and see the Vietnam Veterans Memorial of San Antonio.
Well, thank you. That's awfully nice for you to say that. No, I had seen the tabletop-sized sculpture at an art show. And I met the artist at the time, excuse me, and I was drawn to the piece because of what I saw as what it represented of one man lending aid to another. And I was not in the Marine Corps, even though I was attached to the Marine Corps. I spent my whole time while I was in Vietnam with the Marine Corps. I was drawn to the piece, and I asked him if he would sell it, and of course he wanted to, because the art show was for that purpose. And interestingly enough, the art show was entitled The Vietnam Experience, and all of the artists were Vietnam veterans. And when I purchased the piece, it was some 3 or 4 years before I was inspired to do what we did here in San Antonio. And when I created a board of directors, which is represented by two men from each branch of every branch of the military. I had 10 men on the board of directors, and everyone thought that would be an ideal, basically a model for the memorial that we ended up with.
We have an email from Linda. She says that she's been listening, and she was wondering when you were in Vietnam, Mr. Baines, because her father was a Marine military advisor attached to the Seabees and was also stationed in Quai Tri.
I was there in 1968 and 69.
Okay. All right. Hope that answers your question, Linda. We're going to continue our conversation. Our phone lines are open. If you've got a question or a comment, if you've been watching the Ken Burns Vietnam documentary, what are your thoughts? What do you think of when you see the wall, as they call it? That's not exactly the name, the official name of the monument, but we have down in, at the Washington, D.C., in, on the Mall. And what do you think about the San Antonio's Vietnam Veteran Memorial that we have here? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. How we remember and memorialize the Vietnam War on The Source, 210-614-8980. Stay tuned. It's been over 40 years since the fall of Saigon. Do we now have enough time, enough perspective? How do we memorialize the Vietnam War? We're talking about it this afternoon on The Source. You're invited into the conversation, 210-614-8980. Janie is back with us. You got cut off earlier. Let's see if we can finish this off. Janie, welcome to The Source again.
Well, thank you so much. Yes, I did want to say, well, first of all, I do appreciate the memorial in Washington, D.C. I lived there for a time and visited it many times, and it is very nice. I am so happy, though, that we have this here in San Antonio, of course, Military City, USA. And I want to thank Mr. Baines for commissioning that to be put down there at Auditorium Circle, Memorial Circle. And I have one question, though, and he might not be able to answer it. First of all, I think it's wonderful that that the sculptor is actually was someone who witnessed that scene. It's a very moving scene to me, I think. I come from that age, and it's been kind of difficult for me to watch Ken Burns. I have to take it in bits and pieces. But the radio man, who is, he's looking up to the sky. Do you know if he's looking? I say he's looking for a helicopter to come. I had one of my veterans say yesterday, he's looking up to heaven praying to God. And I just wondered if he knew what the symbolism was there.
Well, in actuality, the radioman was looking skyward for a medevac helicopter, but obviously we couldn't duplicate that at the memorial down there, so we intentionally positioned the flagpole where it is, and in line with his position of his head, I should say, he's looking to the flag for hope and inspiration. That was the symbolism we were hoping to achieve.
So, John Baines, when you said you wanted to create this memorial and the scale of it, that was a big ask. I mean, first of all, people, how did you raise money for this thing?
Well, we took a very unique approach when we started our fundraising campaign for the memorial. Of course, as I mentioned earlier, we developed Veterans Memorial Plaza, which was previously just a full city block downtown parking lot, and we transformed that into a nicely landscaped plaza with the Vietnam Veterans Memorial as its centerpiece. And the overall cost of the project was approximately $1 million. And we took a very unique approach in that we went to the man on the street because we felt like that typically the son of the man on the street is who fights our nation's wars. And we wanted to include everyone. So we reached out to the community and encouraged everyone to participate as far as making contributions to the memorial, and in a 3-year time span, we had over 90 fundraisers, which is amazing if you stop and think about that. It was almost 3 a month, and we had everything from a Bob Hope USO show to neighborhood bake sales and everything in between. I mean, everything you can possibly imagine. The San Antonio Police Department and the Bexar County Sheriff's Department had a football game appropriately named the Pork Bowl, and they raised money for us, and we had dance contests, just about everything. We even had a world championship boxing match here as a fundraiser. And when you stop and think that over 90 fundraisers, just about everything under the sun took place, but over 130,000 people contributed to making our memorial come to fruition, and our average contribution was approximately $5, which I think is amazing in itself. I don't think anything has ever been done like that in San Antonio before or since, where the community was really asked to step up and participate for something like this. Typically, projects like this, you know, are paid for by the major corporations or the philanthropists or the wealthy families in town, and the little guy is never invited to the party. Well, I figured we're going to invite the little guy to the party this time. And they stepped up in fine fashion. And, you know, we didn't get the big checks, but we got nickels, dimes, dollar bills, and it was paid for by over 130,000 people from our community. And I think every single one of those people should be proud of themselves for helping make it happen.
James Reston, Jr., you're the author of A Rift in the Earth, of talking about the Vietnam War Memorial in Washington, D.C. Do you have any reaction to how San Antonio came about with its war memorial?
Well, you know, it just sounds sensational for San Antonio, and I applaud it in every way. It something like, as I'm hearing it described like this, is primarily in service of the veteran community, and they should, it should be in service of the veteran community. But when you look at the statistics of the Vietnam generation, there is something like 25 million young men of draftable age for the entire span of the Vietnam War. Something like 15 million of those were either disqualified or they didn't, you know, got medical deferments or graduate school deferments or mm-hmm. whatever. That's, you know, 15 million out of some 20 million. There were something like 2.1 million men who were actually deployed to Vietnam, and out of that, you know, 58,000 were killed, and another 300,000 were injured. That's an enormous cost of war. And when you go to the Vietnam Memorial in Washington, speaking of this figurative sculpture of the three soldiers, the idea of one comrade helping another comrade who is wounded is a concept that was ultimately rejected by the judges for the Vietnam Memorial. And what you have are three soldiers that are of a very different sort than what's being described here. What the sculptor was going for there was youth and confusion and camaraderie, but their expressions as they look across the field to the 58,000 that were killed is rather inscrutable. And that was the artist's intention in that it would allow a veteran to kind of put themselves in that place, that, you know, they were looking at themselves in the sculpture.
Okay. So, James, I'm going to take a couple of callers really quick before I run out of time. This is Mac.
Sure.
And, Mac, welcome to The Source. You're on the time. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
All right. Go ahead.
Well, I just want to say I'm fairly young, so I was born after – I'm young enough that I was born after Vietnam and the endings of the war, but I've been thankful to have two parents that were Vietnam-era veterans, and my dad was drafted into the Marine Corps, and my mom joined the Marine Corps in 68. And so I'm thankful that I had that upbringing, but I also have a lot of very, very good friends who are also Vietnam veterans. One of the original Romads that we now know as TAC-Ps, and I've also been blessed to know people from the 82nd and 101st Airborne. So I've known a lot of veterans, and I think what I know from learning in high school and in college as a political science major, I had the ability to learn about the Vietnam War from different angles, not only politically but militarily and one-on-one with veterans who were there. And I think one of the things that I've noticed is what memorials help us do is they get us to the human side of it and get us away from all the noise that's spread in our textbooks, because in the textbooks you have it written as a police action because politically that's what it was. but it kind of keeps you separate from what really went on. And so I think that memorials, especially the ones here in Military City, USA, are deeply important to help us learn that these were real people, this was a real action, and it wasn't nearly as romanticized as some of our textbooks make it out to be.
Mac, thank you for that call. James Reston, quickly, your reaction to that, a human reaction to war.
Well, it's one of the magical things about the Washington Memorial is that it is black granite that reflects. And so, particularly for the veteran who has survived that war, their image is reflected in that wall as they look at the name, possibly, of someone they knew that was perished, like my one friend on the wall. So, so yes, it absolutely humanizes it for the individual who actually knows somebody, but beyond that, could imagine that if they knew somebody who had perished, how would they feel about that? So that's another personalized side of it.
Okay.
And if you step all the way back and look at the 58,000 all at once, it really is the inscrutable expressions of the three soldiers in the thing of just awe and confusion.
And John Vaines, you're the founder of the chairman of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in San Antonio. You made the one we have downtown happen. Do you feel satisfied with what we have now? I mean, is this what you wanted?
Oh, absolutely. No, I think that not just in Washington, but here in San Antonio and throughout the country, the memorials that have been created to show that our country is appreciative of the sacrifices that have been made have been very well embraced. And I'm extremely pleased.
All right. John Baines, founder, chairman of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial of San Antonio, also with us on the line, James Reston, Jr., author of A Rift in the Earth, Art, Memory, and the Fight for a Vietnam War Memorial. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for tuning us in.